Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it. Make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content, because we've got a lot of it these days. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve Larson. I'm going to be spending all Raw today fulfilling these damn care packages, which are finally ready, and I'm making sure everybody's...
I don't know why we just don't schedule a day where we can just sit down and do it together.
I mean, you keep on saying that.
Well, let's do it then.
Just come on. I do it when I'm here. Oh, okay. So just whenever you want to come over and do it, you can do it with
well,
me.
I need to schedule because I have other things I do, so I need to carve out time in my schedule to do it.
Pick a day.
Friday too late?
No. Right, I'll probably still have some to do on Friday. All right, Friday. You're welcome to come over when you want. We're also available on Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Well, I got to make sure we got sound.
That's not sound. There you go. There's sound. We have sound now.
Nice.
Obviously, there's sound. Yes, hooray.
You look great. We look fantastic.
Fantastic.
Oh, look at that. I love it. Joe Juarez in chat right now says, this podcast really helps dealing with work on Mondays.
I'll tell you what. I really got a real case of the Mondays today, man.
Really?
I'm tired.
Oh, no, man. You were coming in here with ideas
I know.
So starting today, and at first I was hesitant, but then when I saw the glee in your eyes, I was like, wait a second. Now, you might be onto something here. Starting today at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
We're going to rewrite Steven Larson book Raw right before the show starts. We're really taking this attitude of WWE style booking literally.
Yeah, exactly.
Rewriting the entire show right before we start.
This is great. So we're now going to do the Creator Wrestler stuff alternating Thursday. So one Thursday it's going to be bad wrestling. Next Thursday it's going to be rad wrestling. So on Mondays we're going to do Steven Larson book Raw.
Yeah.
And so we're taking all the ideas that we have for Raw, and instead of just yelling at WWE on Twitter or here on the show, we're going to show them just how good our ideas are by implementing them using, of course, 2K18.
Yeah.
So it should be a lot of fun. This would be really cool. We're going to clear Daniel Bryan to come back.
Don't ruin
Whoa!
Anything. They're supposed to be surprises,
Whoa!
Man. Gosh.
Whoa.
What we just say, WWE is, they don't do very much stuff that's exciting.
Right.
And they don't really do a whole lot of surprises anymore. Let's keep some surprises for people.
All right. Well, hey.
Gosh.
There's a little tidbit. All right.
Goodness.
Sorry. Don't infect me with your Mondays, man. I think, I don't know, you come
it's
in here.
It's cold outside. It's really windy.
It's cold outside.
And it's like kicked up my allergies. I was congested all weekend. I'm tired of being congested.
Yeah. Hey, man, I've been dealing the same thing, but I'm in a gleeful mood. It's the holiday. Where's my Santa hat? I'm going to start wearing that. It gets pretty warm in that Santa hat, though, I'll be honest with you. How was your weekend? You seem like it wasn't a good one.
It was fine.
You went in karaokeing on freaking Saturday.
Yeah, that wasn't that great.
Did you say some old lady was trying to talk to you the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Look, man, I'm just trying to jam to what did you sing?
Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads.
Once in a Lifetime.
Yeah.
That one?
That's enough, yeah.
Water flow.
Stop.
Demonetize.
Exactly. myself and a couple of our friends did Paul Revere.
Yeah.
I handled the ad rock.
That's good. All right.
Section of the song. And
nice.
Then I did David Bowie's Last Dance.
I wish I was there for that. I should have come out.
You should have.
I know.
Your loss.
My loss. You seem really hyped about it in the text thread that we got going with our friend.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of that was sarcasm.
Oh, no. It was good. It's CLA. Sarcasm. Any energy I get from you is good energy, man. It's all good. Unless you start yelling at me or something. When are we going to that office space? Check a look at it. I looked at our new office space.
Well, I mean, I trust your take on it. Pictures look good.
Yeah,
I think it's just more making sure the secondary expenses don't break our budget.
Internet,
that's the primary concern right now. Once we have established that,
mm-hmm.
then if we want to go look at it again, that's fine.
All right, very good.
Because if we find out that, you know, any other expenses are going to be too much, then there's no point looking at it again.
correct, Amundo. Let's talk about wrestling, dude.
Oh, okay. I guess that's what we're here to do.
It's kind of what we're here to do.
Yeah.
It's Monday. Not a whole lot of wrestling news happened over the weekend. It's funny because our dirt sheet on Friday was like a stacked show.
It really was. But they got all the news out of the way on Wednesday and Thursday.
But there was a couple of significant happenings over the weekend.
Yeah, let's start with Thursday.
And today, we can talk about Broken Matt.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. We're going to talk about Woken Matt.
Yeah.
Explain, Larson.
So Thursday night, after we'd already shot Friday's dirt sheet and talked extensively about the latest happenings with the Broken IP and Matt Hardy, Matt Hardy released a short video on his personal YouTube channel. I believe it's Matt Hardy Brand, yes?
Yes, yeah.
Where he seemed to pretty much say, yes, Broken Universe, or some version of it, was coming to WWE. In this video, he asked Senior Benjamin to procure my coat of battle.
Yes.
Don't say it right.
Yes.
Wonderful. So it definitely looks like WWE is rolling with this Broken-esque Hardy gimmick going forward. The Wrestling Observer.
The Wrestling Observer himself.
Dave Meltzer.
It's, you have to say the himself.
No, I know. Reported over the weekend that, quote, Matt Hardy was doing his new version of Broken, now called Woken, so WWE can own it.
Yes.
Say it right.
Yeah.
At the first Raw house show of the weekend last night in Salt Lake City, and Hardy tweeted that he'll be at Raw tonight to apparently delete some entities.
Yeah, there was a little video they posted, WWE did, of that house show, Matt. Do we know who he was fighting?
No,
neither do I. Because the camera was pretty close on him. And I imagine it was post-match. Maybe he lost. I don't know. But he started deleting the crap out of everything. Obviously, it's here. I like the fact that on his YouTube, he posted that video. Means that at the very least... Now, I really hope the WWE is going to implement these filmed segments... like we saw in TNA with the Broken stuff.
Yes.
Onto their actual programming.
I know.
And not just relegate it to YouTube and then just have him come out and job every week.
I know.
I want something really meaty for him because he needs to be picking up some... I mean, honestly, he needs to be picking up some wins for this really to make any sense. If they want to sell, the bottom line for them is this. You want to sell a bunch of t-shirts with Woken on it, you got to go all the way, and you got to give them a lot of wins. I'm not saying you need to do what they did in TNA, make him champion, but give him his own thing, get him some good meaty feuds.
A modest push.
Yeah, a good push.
He starts selling a lot of shirts, getting over, and then we can talk about...
I would say this.
Upper card stuff right now.
We don't need to talk about that, because it's not going to happen.
He's going to beat Brock Lesnar.
Delete
Brock.
Maybe on our version of We Book Raw. I would say this. If the highest he gets is a quality feud win over Bray Wyatt, I think it's success.
It is a success.
I think it's a success right there.
I agree.
What do you think about the whole idea that the WWE says, well, we want to own it, so let's just make it Woken? What do you think about that?
I mean, I wonder if part of it, and we've heard this before, is that Vince is hesitant to admit that a gimmick created somewhere else is actually good.
Yeah.
So maybe just by simply renaming it, he can say, well, now this is our thing, so we did this gimmick, so no credit needs to be given to TNA.
Yeah.
But in the past, they have licensed wrestlers' names for merchandising purposes.
Sure.
I mean, like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, they all came in with the names they used.
Mm-hmm.
In Ring of Honor, in TNA, in the Indies.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, I don't really see what's... I mean, Adam Cole's doing his Adam Cole baby thing.
Right.
That's his character. That's his gimmick.
Yeah.
Why not just do Broken? Unless, here's a possibility, Matt Hardy, now that he finally has it, just wants to hold on to it.
Hey, that could be. That could be, because he understands they're not going to just use something that he owns.
Yeah.
So he can say, yes, you can have Woken, not Broken.
Yes.
But then with the understanding that Broken's mine. If my contract ends with you, I can go and do Broken wherever I want to do Broken. So that's good. I mean, hopefully it's a win-win for everybody.
Everybody
wins. So. Everybody wins, baby. So it'd be interesting to see how this plays out. Tonight is the first episode of Raw that will actually get we'll see, I guess. Mm-hmm. We'll get to see what they have planned for this.
I know. I wonder if it's going to be, and it's a shame they didn't have kind of a summation or a new mythology leading to his, I guess in the sense, awakening.
Yeah.
Like what happened in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Because just the way they're handling it, they're assuming that people already know the backstory.
Yeah.
So in that sense, they're already admitting that TNA had a good idea.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, I mean, here's my thing. What if they just open tonight with, I mean, not open, but open the story arc with a two-minute pre-film segment? He did this thing with Senor Benjamin.
Yeah.
So obviously he was hanging out at his compound at some point.
Well, he lives there.
Yeah, I know. These people live on the road, and they vacation on the weekends at their house or, you know, during their days off at their house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I assume he was at his compound. Man, who wants to go back home after, like, 5 days on the road? You go back home, and you're like, well, let me go set up the video camera stuff so I can record some more crap for WWE now for my job.
It's got to be exhausting.
But he seems to really get a kick. I doubt he would do it if he didn't get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I hope that they start off with some, you know, minute, two-minute tease. Or maybe they can build the story through those, you know, those vignettes or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just want to see those because they're freaking great.
Yeah.
You know.
Who Vanguard doesn't? One. Apparently, Vanguard One, his Twitter account.
Yeah.
Its Twitter account.
It's active again.
Yeah, it's active again.
Yeah. I don't know what gender he identifies as.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
Senior Benjamin is back on Twitter.
He's back on Twitter.
So I'm assuming he will be involved in these pre-filmed segments should they be shot and aired.
Yeah.
So this is all interesting stuff. And hopefully, I hope they add something new to it as well and not just rely on everything that was established in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been a long time since we've seen it on TV. I think the enthusiasm from the crowd has been diluted somewhat because it's been gone so long.
Yeah,
so they need to bring something new. Keep the elements that people love about it, but just don't rely solely on that. Because then it's going to feel like a nostalgia act already.
I wouldn't go. That's going a bit far, isn't it?
Well, it's been a nostalgia act. We haven't seen it in so long.
A year.
No, I understand that. But that's what it's going to feel like. Is WWE's like, all right, people are going to pop for these things.
Yeah.
Let's just do those things.
Yeah, see, I'm fine
because
with that.
People have fondness in their hearts for those things without bringing anything new to the product.
It was something that didn't really last that long in the first place on TNA. It was around for, what, 6 months or so? Wasn't around that long.
Yeah, I know.
You know? And so I'm fine with them not necessarily picking up where they left off. I would like a new beginning to some story, and I'm sure Matt has new ideas. I'm not worried about that. And I'm not even really worried about the crowd enthusiasm because I think once they finally get a glimpse of some film stuff, once we get the dilapidated boat again, and some new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Maxwell's older now. He's a toddler. He's firmly in the toddler years.
Are they going to bring Rockstar Spud out to job to Maxwell again?
Yes! I really hope so.
Yes.
Put Maxwell in 205 Live. That'd be great. Once they, once I think people see that and they'll see the ridiculousness, because, you know, Matt's probably been storing all sorts of ideas in his head.
Yes.
And so I think he's going to come out strong. Assuming they let him do this stuff, I think people will pop. I think they'll get into it. You know?
Oh yeah, I'm sure they will.
I think they'll be into it. But it's just you can only take so much of the half-ass approach. You know?
No, I know, and that's what I'm worried about. Is they'll just say, okay, you have Vanguard One, you have Senior Benjamin, you have Broken Matt. WWE will just think, okay, with those ingredients, we'll be fine. We don't have to worry about it now.
I would honestly,
from a creative standpoint,
I really believe that from a creative standpoint, they're probably just going to tell Matt, hey. Go out and do some weird crap.
I would think that.
I mean, how hands-on? I mean, you think Kevin Dunn's going to go out to the Hardy compound and do a bunch of, like, crappy pre-scripted, like, nonsense? I don't think that's going to happen. I think that'll be good. I'm optimistic about it, but I've said that in the past, and look where it's gotten me. Nowhere, Larson. Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Speaking of being sad about things, let's talk about Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, apparently he's sad.
Yeah.
Because he was recently on the Edge and Christian podcast. And some of the stuff he was talking about made some news on the dirt sheet, so we're going to talk about it.
Nice.
And he spoke extensively about his current role in the WWE, saying that he hates it.
Yeah, he's not. Well, okay, so that's the easy tagline right there.
I know.
He did, in fact, say it.
Yeah, he said, I hate it.
But he also...
He goes in detail about why he has a problem with it.
Well, he said he hates not being the guy.
Well,
personally, it's a thing for him where he says that everybody, and I'm paraphrasing, he says everybody thinks, and we'll get to the exact quote here in a second, but essentially he hates everybody should be back there to be the number, to want to be the number one guy. That should be your goal. And hey, in life, you should always want to be the number one guy, right? I want to be the number one wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
I say it in the freaking open to the show. Be a part of the best, the only pro wrestling, whatever
the hell
it is.
You want to be. You say that we are.
Exactly. So, hey, we're there.
Yeah.
He says, you know, you can't. I'll just do the
just
exact
read, Yeah, just read okay. the quote. You're going to spend more time talking about what, try to paraphrase what he said. Just say what he said, Steve.
Whoa. He says, quote, "But also, I'm someone who, I hate that I'm not the champion. I hate that the show is not about me, because that's the mentality you should have if you're in the business. So you have to have that mentality. But also, I've been around enough to know the score, to know what's going on. So I hate being in that position. I think I should be a bigger part of the show, but so does everybody else." Meaning, sorry, not everybody else wants him to be a bigger part of the show.
Everybody else wants to be a larger part of the show themselves.
Exactly. He continues. He talks about being a gatekeeper for new talent. "I've been here for 12 years, almost always regularly on TV, but I think at a point that becomes a burden of not going away, of always getting passed over. You get passed over a handful of times for a couple of years, and then you start to have more of a cult following, and then it gets hot, but after a couple of years of not having the trigger pulled, and the 8-year-old kids now that you're know that you're in that role. But when you get in that role and you miss years of not going with it, it becomes a burden. Now my job of making somebody that should be ready for a world title picture becomes harder, and it's not as much of a shove. And if you skip, Jesus, God, he just talks a lot, doesn't he?
And if you see the last 6 months or year of TV, basically, I'm a gatekeeper to the guy from NXT coming up,
Bobby Roode.
Nakamura, who they have high expectations for. But if I lose for 8 consecutive months before they show up, they are no longer getting that pat on the back from me to go up a notch. So I feel like it's almost taking back from my role. He's 100% right about this.
Yeah.
100% right.
And you can take a look at, dude, you can take a look at that guy in NXT that fulfills the same role and how they treat him. That guy's Cassius Ohno. And he racks up wins when he's not losing to the bigger guys.
Yeah.
And we see that on TV. And so every time he faces like a Gargano or a Lars Sullivan, or who did he fight this last time? Oh, it was Lars Sullivan this last time. It's like, well, Cassius Ohno is a strong guy. He's got that elbow. We kind of know Lars
it was because Ohno beat Hideo Itami.
Exactly.
He's won a number of matches. He's not on, whenever he's on TV, you don't always automatically assume he's going to take the loss.
Exactly. When Drifter was on his way out, they had a very high profile. Cassius Ohno beat that guy.
Yeah.
And then and Drifter went on. And so, and that happens, you know, whenever there's some TV tapings for NXT, the gatekeeper gets some wins.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wins that that the losses he takes mean something.
Yes.
And with Dolph, loses and loses and loses and loses. So when he is in a program with Nakamura or Bobby Roode, we know what's going to happen. Like, there's zero drama or tension, and it doesn't do much.
And in one sense, I understand why they'd want Ziggler involved in these feuds, because he's a quality worker. And we've heard with both Nakamura and Roode that, like, the matches they were putting on house shows and dark matches were great.
Yeah.
But when it came time for TV, let's go to my laptop here. Came time for TV, the first matches with both Roode and Nakamura were really underwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't until subsequent matches we're like, oh, okay, this must have been what they were doing. And I don't know what the logic would be for that, if it's even a conscious decision on anybody's part to put forth lesser matches initially, only to follow up with better matches. I mean, with his feud with Nakamura, the match they had at Backlash was not very good.
Right,
And then a week or two later, they had a match on SmackDown that was actually pretty decent. Same with Roode. Yeah. The match they had at Hell in a Cell was mediocre. And then the 2 out of 3 falls match was pretty good.
It was pretty good,
So I don't know why they just don't do that at first. If Dolph giving somebody the rub isn't meaningful because Dolph loses all the time, at least give his opponent a rub because they're putting on good matches.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to do that, there's absolutely no reason to have him in the program with Dolph at all.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, look at Nakamura right now. I mean, those are the two big cases that we go to. And we see Bobby Roode, we see Shinsuke Nakamura. Both guys, I think, they can turn it around. But, man, talk about being misused out of the gate.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know, man. It's I totally get what he's getting at. And I understand. I just, there's, for a guy who's been doing that for 12 years, talk about, I mean, so we talk about Bray Wyatt and how nobody takes him seriously anymore. How long has Bray been around? 4 years on the main roster?
What was WrestleMania 30? Well, 2012. So almost five.
Almost five, okay.
Oh, more than five, I think.
He's not, Think. Jeez, really?
I think so. Or if I'm getting that confused with the Shield. These are 2013 or 2012.
Okay.
Here, continue. I'll...
So the Shield debuted in November of 2012.
So 2013.
It was around the same. Okay.
No, November 2012, unless this is an NXT.
So, but it had to have been late in 2012.
Yeah, November 2012.
Okay, all right. All right. What are we in 20? God, we're in 2017 already?
Yeah, it's been five
wow,
years.
It's been almost 5 years. Wow, gee willikers. I still think, my point is this, I still think Bray Wyatt can turn it around. I do.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to with him. I think they have a certain spot with him that WWE believes he's strong enough to be kind of a gatekeeper as well. But Dolph has been doing this for so long. And his window, I think, for world title guy to be that guy closed a long time ago, you know?
Yeah.
You can get off the Wyatt thing.
Sorry, I'm trying to piece things together because I feel like Wyatt's first match was against Kane. Anyways,
yeah, it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Anyway, it was 2012 or 2013.
Yeah, anyway.
My screen brightness was going in and out.
You're a mess.
Irritating.
So anyways, I don't know. I just, you know, he's at that point now. I don't know when is the contract up. It's like soon, isn't it?
Bray's?
No, Dolph's. We're off of Bray now.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I've heard it was supposed to be up like...
on a weekly basis, right?
Yeah, in October or something like that. But then that was the case last year against The Miz. It was supposed to be up, and that was, you know, there were people speculating that he was actually going to lose that match and retire at No Mercy last year because his contract was up or something. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's a bummer. He's had look, I'd say this. Anybody be really, really happy with his career. I mean, look, if you're ambitious... It's kind of like one of those things. This is a really loose allegory or a really loose metaphor.
Analogy,
thank you. But like, I would hate to be a fan. Name like an NBA team that's always so close. Like Memphis for the last couple
of
years.
Like the Kings were in the early aughts.
Right, exactly. But like, there are teams out there who are always just on the cusp. Memphis for the last like 10 years.
Yeah, no.
Has been so close. Oklahoma City, exactly. Always so close. But they're never there. It's like I'd almost rather be a fan of like a crap team like the Kings.
Than to get so close only to be denied every time.
Every single
the
time.
The Buffalo Bills in the 90s.
Like
the Super Bowl for four straight years.
Oh, that'd be the worst.
Yeah.
Going to the Super Bowl four. I thought it was like, when it four?
4 years.
It was
sorry.
4 years.
4 years, yeah.
And they didn't win a one of them. And one of them, they're only off by like a field, like a missed field goal.
Yep, the first one.
I feel like if you're Dolph Ziggler, like imagine feeling that way about your own career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was world champion. He's had a career anybody and everybody should be super happy with. But to really desire deep down and know that, man, I really could have been that guy.
Well, to see opportunities for more.
Yeah.
I mean, if he hadn't gotten concussed when he had the world title, granted, you know, we've heard since then that Vince really wasn't that into him being world champion to begin with.
Yeah.
But knowing that maybe he was a concussion away from having a pretty lengthy world title run, potentially, even as recently as 2014 when he was a sole survivor at that Survivor Series
really
match, Team Cena versus Team Authority.
Yeah.
That seemed like that could have been the starting point for a push.
Well,
and then they did nothing with it.
His feud with Dean Ambrose, which we knew wasn't going to culminate with him winning the title. But look, man, any feud can be booked and written to make the fans really believe this could happen. His feud with The Miz was one of those.
Yeah, it was really good.
At his No match, Mercy, it was a career was versus IC title, and he ended up winning the IC title.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And the build to was, oh my God, he really could. They could kick him out right now. They could retire him right now.
I know.
Because we didn't really know what his contract status was like.
I know.
That could have given a massive heel rub to The Miz if they did do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they had a barn burner match. And
then the feud fizzled shortly thereafter. They put the belt back on Miz so he could take on Sami Zayn at Survivor Series last year in 2016.
Yeah. So, I mean, that feud was as recent as last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I say that, you know, the book is closed on him. And, I mean, theoretically, it might not be. I mean, there's the possibility that it could not be. But the way that they booked him lately, ever since that feud with The Miz, it really hasn't been good.
No.
You know? I mean, The Miz and him were at the similar level, and Miz is doing great work right
now. Yeah, no, he's shot off into the stratosphere, whereas Dolph is hardly on TV.
He concludes,
I think, his point, saying, quote, "Wins and losses don't matter unless you're the guy who loses every single night. And if you're that guy, then you should be maybe in the dark match, you know, not fighting someone to see who goes for the world championship the next night. And even if you do pull that rabbit out of the hat, people know that it's not long term.
Yeah.
And again, he's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, it just it keeps on going back to, hey, speaking of the Edge and Christian podcast, I think I might be talking about the Talk Is Jericho. I want to listen to Jimmy Jacobs was recently on, I think it was the Talk Is Jericho.
Yeah, I think
one,
so.
Where he talked a lot about like the circumstances around his dismissal and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But there was a bunch of other stuff that I was reading on the dirt sheets that seemed really, really interesting. I want to check it out.
Yeah.
Moving on. Talking about people in the Cruiserweight division. 205 Live. They're hitting the road.
Yeah.
Announced this morning. It was broken. The story was broke. Oh, yes. By PW.
Wonderful.
The story was woken by PW Insider, but then it was actually confirmed.
By WWE.com later on, yeah.
Yeah. So I have this written in the note. I wrote the notes on this one, so I'm going to read what I wrote. The massively popular Cruiserweight division.
Wait,
regular.
Hold on. You're writing press releases for WWE right now.
Regularly cracking the top.
Answer the question.
I'm writing the good notes right here. Listen to this. The massively. You read it.
No, you wrote it.
Read my notes.
The massively popular Cruiserweight division regularly cracking the top 20. Oh, see, you're being a wisecracker.
I'm a wise guy.
Regularly cracking the top 20 of the WWE Network with their own show called 205 Live. We'll be testing the live show waters this January, hitting Kingston, Rhode Island, Lowell, Massachusetts, and Poughkeepsie, New York.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, PW Insider broke the story and had some backstories about why they're doing it and how they're going to do it.
Yeah. It says the WWE, they are told, PW Insider has been told, the WWE will be targeting smaller buildings in the Northeast for that weekend, the weekend of January 18th to the 20th. Possibly the same venues they utilize for the NXT brand.
I think the venue in Lowell, Massachusetts, is the same one they've used before where Joe beat Finn for the NXT
title.
Okay,
so I looked them up. Yeah, the capacity is around 3,000 for each of the venues. Yeah. PW Insider continues, it appears WWE will be taking a, quote, let's walk before we can run stance with the brand. The current 205 Live touring plan appears to be running 2 to 3 events over a weekend once a month, but beyond January and potentially February, we are told that nothing has been set in stone and it is being seen as something of an experiment. Back in February, apparently on a conference call, quarterly earnings conference call, Vince McMahon said there were plans in place to more effectively monetize 205 Live, live shows, merchandise, and more on the horizon. A lot of questions about this. There was that survey that came out recently about 205 Live. It feels like the WWE might understand that they have something. They have something that has a lot of potential to it.
But they need to mix it up a bit.
They're just not entirely sure how to maximize the potential.
Yeah.
And so with the also the story that they have been talking with Facebook mm-hmm. about a live show for Facebook Live following SmackDown in the 205 Live spot, I wonder, could they start taping these for 205 Live,
they could,
as opposed to doing it the way they do now. You can retain the 205 Live name, sort of,
because you're still performing the shows in front of a live audience,
emphasizing the fact that it's in front of a small, hot live venue.
Because I read this and I thought the same thing, that either they're using these house shows to kind of test the waters for taping NXT 205 Live in front of smaller audiences, or they're going to start taping some of these house shows. What if instead of doing the huge production for the show like they do for Raw and SmackDown, or even for NXT, just shoot it like a PWG show. We buy the DVDs, they have one hard cam, and then two guys walking around the ring with handheld cameras.
Yeah.
Do it guerrilla style.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Well, I mean, okay, so this could potentially open up the possibility, a lot of possibilities. Number one, exactly like you're saying, would be exactly what I've been advocating for 205
Live for a
while.
Yeah, make it feel like an
underground,
indie wrestling show.
Yeah,
and let them do what they do best.
Well, that's sort of one big question is,
and have Seth Rollins show up and pop the crowd.
Are they going to? Yeah, no,
do
exactly.
it all.
Yeah, do it all. Are they going to? Are they going to let these guys wrestle in matches that we know they can wrestle? I mean, they go a certain way on 205 Live. It's not the kind of matches that you would see. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes the matches they put on 205 Live, I've said, if you teleport that match and plunk it down into PWG, you'll see a hot crowd.
Yeah, but even I feel like a lot of the best 205 Live matches are maybe at most 85% of what those guys can really do.
I think you're absolutely right. However, I still think that'd be a hot crowd for PWG.
Oh, yeah, no, it would.
Even the Wrestling Observer himself would say, wow, what a fantastic match.
5.5 stars.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean, crowd is a lot. The crowd matters. You know, you get these dead crowds and they're seeing to do these cool things. And it's like even the crowd can pop. If you can get even that crowd to pop, which they do at least on a weekly basis once, then who knows what they can do in front of a fresh crowd.
Who paid money to see that show.
Exactly.
As opposed to people who went to SmackDown, probably, you know, to see SmackDown.
Yeah, to see Randy Orton.
And then, you know, that's a reason they...
Wait, he's not on the show tonight? He's not even a lumberjack?
But he could have been in the dark match after 205 Live.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been doing that ever since they started taping 205 Live after SmackDown. That's why Nakamura wasn't on TV for extended periods of time, because during his feud with Dolph, they weren't having that feud really play out in the ring at all on SmackDown. It was all during dark matches after the show.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think, like I said, this can open up a world of possibilities, man. If you get the only question at that point is, I love the idea of like, yeah, Seth Rollins come in and generate a buzz. All of a sudden, Seth Rollins comes in. He puts on like a dark match with Cedric Alexander or some crap like that. That'd be great. How would you then, the problem then is right now on Raw, you can sort of, it's really easy to integrate your storylines that you're having on Raw with what's going on 205 Live. The logistics are a little bit different when you're pre-taping it once a month.
Oh yeah, I know.
And then how would you then feature your guys on Raw?
You just take planning and following through on the planning, which I know are not strong points with WWE.
Yeah.
But that would...
Because then you end up with Rosemary popping her shoulder out in AAA and then having three matches the next 3 weeks on Impact.
Yeah.
Oh, Impact. Anyways. It would take some logistics. You'd have to hope that nobody gets injured during, you know, while you're doing that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, you could do that. You can use Raw as sort of like, specifically a showcase for what you guys could be seeing on the network. I don't know how you
Which
do
is
it.
Kind of part of the role of Raw.
Which is kind of what it does now.
Whenever they have the tag matches. They're showcase matches.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, if my thing is this. If we've seen that NXT can be a successful traveling brand on its own with simply its own NXT, with its own network show as really the driving force. You don't see a lot of... You really see any crossover between main roster shows and NXT, unless it's like a call-up. That's the only form of crossover there is.
Usually, I think the most recent one was Seth Rollins showing up at TakeOver to call it Triple H. It happens.
Exactly.
I'd say Kevin Owens as NXT champ going
that to was main. That was a great bit of crossover. Yeah. And it was. It absolutely. He was the NXT champion. They don't really do that often.
No.
And so, I mean, there's a template out there for you don't need there to be crossover between main roster and 205 Live. And in fact, if they got back that survey and nobody really cared about that, it could be that they're saying, well, they don't really care about that. We don't need that, you know. And in that case, you can experiment with, you know, I don't know, other things in that spot on Raw and just say, hey, you know what? Let's just go all in on 205 Live as, you know, a live touring brand, basically. And put on these fantastic matches and build buzz that way.
Yeah.
But then you've got Enzo, and they're not going to take Enzo off Raw.
No.
So, I don't know.
No, there'll always be some measure of crossover. But
right, yeah.
How large, who knows?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Would you guys see... I would go check that out just to see what it would be like.
Would. Yeah.
Because I think that they would step it up a notch in terms of the wrestling, you know?
It's like, agreed.
Hey, it's a live show. We can do what we want out here. Did you see that? The Conan?
Mm-hmm.
Conan and the Crash parting ways?
Yep.
Can we just do our like non-news stuff right now? Alberto Del Rio spills the dirt on... No, I'm doing that for actual non-news. We're recording non-news today, by the way.
Oh, we are? Oh, it's been like a month. He and Paige broke up.
Yeah.
Leo Rush was at a NXT house show over the weekend.
He beat Raul Mendoza.
Yep.
Leo Rush officially out of the doghouse.
Yep.
I guess.
Chris Jericho is not going to be at WrestleMania 34 because he has a concert scheduled that day.
Really?
Yeah, but I kind of expect that anyway. Not the concert, but not being at WrestleMania 34.
Yeah. Maybe. Also, if you guys have questions out there in the chat, let us know right now.
Yeah.
We're going to open the floor to...
Well, no, we're going to do a Raw preview first. It's Raw tonight.
My favorite part of the show.
Which might have woken Matt Hardy on it. Maybe. Who knows?
Where's my notes?
But confirmed on WWE.com, we found out last week that Rollins and Ambrose are getting a rematch for the Raw Tag Team Championships against T-Bar.
Yeah, they're going to win. They're going to win.
Yeah, and then at the end of Mania, the Shield's going to have all the belts.
Yeah, man.
All the belts.
Yeah. They need to add a woman's member to the Shield, you know? who would be power rank top five women wrestlers on Raw who should be part of the Shield?
Sasha.
You think Sasha?
Yeah, I think she'd be a good member of the Shield.
I think Sasha's like the only one that fits, right?
Yeah.
Who else could be in the Shield?
Nia Jax.
What if they call up somebody new? Power rank top females in NXT. That should be in the Shield. Jazzy Gabert. There you go. Who else?
Shayna Baszler.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. She hasn't really even been on NXT, though, has she? Yeah, they're totally going to win those titles.
Oh, yes.
Next.
There's another Fatal 4-Way Cruiserweight match, winner of which will face Rich Swann next week to determine new number one contender for Enzo's Cruiserweight title.
Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, and whom else?
Tony Nese and Drew Gulak.
Boy, wouldn't that be something if Drew Gulak went over?
I fully expect one of the heels to win.
God, be something.
I would love for Cedric to win, because I think Cedric and Rich Swann would put on an amazing match, especially if they get a spot on Raw, give them 15 minutes.
I kind of see that happening. I can see that.
I don't know. They're teasing a lot of tension between Mustafa Ali and Cedric, and I think that'll lead to both of them not winning.
All right. What's your prediction? Who wins?
I'm going to go with Gulak.
You're going to go
with
Gulak?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I think you're right about that. I'll give it to Tony Nese.
All right.
No, I'm going to say Cedric's going to win.
That's what I want to have happen. Yeah. I really want that to happen.
Boy, could you imagine that match? Cedric versus Rich Swann.
Phenomenal.
Great. Kind of interesting, though, they're going with the live show thing instead of like 205 Live's version of Takeovers, you know? Mm-hmm. Like just their own thing instead of just being relegated to the pre-show.
They're saying those.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Walk, don't
one
run.
One thing at a time, yeah. Yep.
They really need to start merchandising more.
Who would you buy for? When is there that Gulak shirt? The make to, really? You just had that made
he
up?
He has one that is pretty much the same exact one. I know it's a pure wrestling t-shirt, but it's for a combat zone.
Oh.
It says Gulak for a better combat zone.
I'd buy that.
But yeah, if they released the Gulak shirt or a decent looking Cedric Alexander shirt, I'd be all over it.
What if they got the guy to design that horrible Pete Dunne shirt, did like a same one but for Cedric Alexander? You wouldn't do that just to support Cedric Alexander?
No, because Cedric Alexander has... I bought actually a Cedric Alexander shirt from some wrestling t-shirt shop I found online.
Like Redbubble or something?
No, it's like called... No, it's a real shop because they have stuff from Combat Zone and other people.
Right on.
I don't know if I watched it yet or not. I wash it, because it's a little large, I was going to wash it in hot water and see if it shrinks.
Okay, so it's a process.
Yeah.
Will Roman Reigns get payback against Samoa Joe? Do you think he's going to get some payback?
I don't think it's going to happen in the form of a match. Or maybe it will, I don't know.
He's going to run up on him in catering and put him in his own Romina clutch? No. Does he have a submission move?
No.
Roman doesn't do submission moves.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him do anything more than a headlock.
Spear. Headlock.
Superman punch. Samoan drop.
And then tripled powerbomb.
Well, then the corner lariat. Clotheslines.
Oh, God. Those are terrible. He doesn't do a whole lot, does he?
No. No, there's the drive-by. I forgot about that. A drop kick.
Oh, yeah. The drive. A drop kick.
Every once in a while, he jumps over the top rope. And that's pretty impressive for a guy his size.
He looks like he's wearing... Like, his outfit isn't really conducive to wrestling, is it?
Not terribly.
He always looks kind of uncomfortable in that.
I would think
vest.
It would be. It looks stiff.
Yeah. Give him some MMA attire, man. Some of those cool, like, shorts, knee pads, kick pads.
At this point, I don't mind the pants and the boots. That's fine.
I can't stand it.
Just the vest bugs.
Yeah. I can't stand any of it, man. Because here's the thing. You get rid of the vest, you're just left with some pants.
I understand.
Like some slacks and boots.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Okay.
Yeah, once you get rid of the vest, you got to redo the whole thing.
Like if we watch his matches from FCW, it's weird to see him in tights. It's so weird.
Hey, look, man, you got to start somewhere.
I understand, but seeing him so long in Shield gear, then going back in time and seeing him in tights, is strange. It's just really strange.
When are they going to release the FCW episodes?
That'd be something.
That'd be great.
Yeah. There's a triple threat match of the Shield members floating around the internet. That's pretty good.
Yeah, man. Release that stuff.
I know.
Come on. They have some in like the Hidden Gems collections.
Yeah,
they've got
so.
Like matches.
Yeah.
I want to see like their video.
The actual shows.
I want to see their title. I just like the title sequences. I was watching some Mid-South this weekend, like late at night. It's the best time to watch it. It's great. And they're all so slow.
Paige going to have her first one-on-one match since returning a few weeks back against Sasha Banks.
Oh, nice. Very interesting. So Paige
is Absolution going to get involved in this match?
130%, and Sasha's going to lose to Paige? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I think Paige ain't going to lose until WrestleMania, man. I think she's going to get that title, too.
Yeah.
I want to see in what capacity is Alexa Bliss going to slink away this week, because that's my new favorite thing for her. Her slinking away.
Yeah, that was great on Raw last week where she's on commentary and just kind of slipped aside backstage. Finally on WWE.com, Kane and Braun Strowman, more of them. They say, how will they settle the score?
Are we going to get like a cage? No, not cage.
Last man standing match.
Last monster standing
with
match.
With Braun going over.
Yeah, I like it.
Rodney, so hopefully it'll be a good Raw.
Rodney Lewis gave us a $2 super chat asking to power rank the top five Duck to finish, baby.
Well, Dusty finish, by the definition, is a finish where the face goes over only for the ref to reverse the decision, correct?
Yeah. So Jericho versus Triple H.
Yes. That's Triple kind H, of the ultimate Dusty finish.
Yeah, Triple H bullied the ref into doing that. So, yeah. I don't know about others. What are others?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was when Dusty won the belt that one time off Flair, and the decision was reversed.
I like our expansive. We expanded the definition just to include any time there's like any DQ essentially.
Well, any sort of weird.
Nobody
finish.
Wins. Yeah, any weird win where nobody wins.
Where nobody wins.
A weird finish, rather.
Agreed.
When's the last? Give us a. Has there ever been a prominent all four shoulders down on the mat finish? Was the last time we saw a double count out?
Did Charlotte do that?
Did they do a double count out at
Sasha
some point?
And Bailey. It wasn't double count out, but it was a double pin.
What about the Dusty finish when AJ and Kevin Owens had that weird finish?
Oh, when AJ got his foot caught in the wires of the announce table?
No. The
botch finish.
The weird roll-up botch finish.
Yeah.
How about Andrade Almas versus Drew McIntyre?
That was the finish of the match.
That
man.
Was a really weird finish, though.
It was.
Because it was so slow.
The top rope draping DDT, which is a weird finish to begin with. I mean, I understand almost his finisher is a DDT, but it's a little more intricate than that.
That was like the most 1980s, like Mid-South finish. Like it was so slow. So weird.
Maybe that's why the timing was off and Drew held on the rope too long.
See that Instagram of Almas in bed with his title?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
But my question is, who took the picture? I'm assuming it was Lena Vega.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, though. Anyways.
Who knows?
Anyways.
Question time?
Question time!
Who has questions?
Owen Allen, would you guys like to see women exclusively on SmackDown with their on the show, kind of like 205 Live? No, I like having women's divisions on both shows.
Yes.
However, it wouldn't surprise me if this 205 Live thing worked out, if maybe they then went to venues with capacities of, say, 1,500 to 2,000, if they did like a Mae Young Classic touring show.
Mm-hmm.
That I could see, given they've signed so many of those names. It wouldn't surprise me if the 205 Live thing was a success.
Wrestling the World, what is your 5-year plan for going in Raw?
2019, hire our first employee.
There you go.
2020, sell out to Sirius XM.
Okay.
2021, come back to YouTube because they've canceled our contract because we're miserable failures on satellite radio. 2022, I don't know.
Milo Hernandez.
Retire.
$2 says Tranquilo.
Tranquilo. You know, before Los Ingobernables took that term, my mom used that term all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because they would say, once the kids left the house, my dad would always say he was very happy with Tranquilo. He's like, nope, I like my Tranquilo. And I never really associated one with the other, just beyond the fact that I understood what it meant.
Yeah.
It just means chill out.
Yeah.
And so the other day, or like last week, I forgot to mention this, last week, they were all over here celebrating, I don't know, somebody's birthday or some crap. And like my mom starts yelling at my dad, which she does all the time because they're old and my dad's annoying. So my mom started yelling at him. My dad just said, Tranquilo. My dad is not a member of LIJ, but I kind of feel like if there's anybody in my family that would be, it'd be him.
Yeah. When my dog barks too much, I'd tell her, Tranquilo.
Tranquilo. Oh, man. No, Mrs. Here, Lacey's not an Ingobernable. She's the least. She's chaos.
Yeah.
She's the least Tranquilo.
Nate Morris, any thoughts on the NXT changeup for the number one contender after already filming the episodes? This is what I'll say without any spoilers. just wait and see how it pans out.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Because, you know, the tapings happened. Then after the tapings, Regal did a video announcing there's going to be two Fatal 4-Way.
Hey, Tranquilo.
And the competitors are different.
Just Tranquilo.
Just Tranquilo.
Just Tranquilo.
Wait to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Wrestling the world. How would you describe yourself? Journalists, podcasters, or analysts? Definitely not journalists.
Definitely not journalists. Take that off the table. We don't have sources. We don't have scoops.
We report on other people's reports.
And most of the time we do it tongue-in-cheekily.
So I guess we're podcasters first.
Well, we have a podcast, so we're podcasters.
But we analyze, too.
Yeah, we definitely analyze. So we're analytical podcasters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Definitely not journalists, though.
No, take journalists off. No, we're not journalists. No.
No.
Oh, yeah, Lacey. Yeah, she's more sanity. There you go. How is it, Tim Whetstone, how is it working with Inside Gaming and Funhouse? Nothing but great memories.
Yep.
We didn't really get to the office that often once you had moved to Sacramento.
Yeah.
But when we did, I always felt like we were pretty much everybody in Machinima would treat us like family, but especially those guys would always.
Yeah, I got to spend a good year with in LA in the offices with Machinima in the formative days of Inside Gaming, and that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a good time. Nicholas Grothkirth, will Hideo Itami find a way into the Fatal 4-Way tonight? No. I don't think he will.
When do you think he's going to debut? It's going to be before the Rumble.
Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe after the So next week is going to be the number one contender match.
Yeah.
Are we assuming the week after that? Yeah. They're not going to hold off the title fight until the Rumble.
No.
So I'm thinking whoever wins this, Itami will be the next guy in line maybe to challenge.
Power rank from Tim Scott, top 5 HBK matches.
Oh my gosh.
So for sure you have his two Mania matches against Undertaker.
Undertaker, yeah.
You got to have Mind Games versus Foley.
You got to have the first Hell in a Cell in there.
Yeah.
And then the Iron Man match?
Yeah, you could have that in there.
Probably. I mean, you're leaving a lot on the cutting room floor at that point.
I know.
You know?
Because he had a lot of phenomenal matches during his second run.
Yeah. My favorite match was his barbershop match against Marty Jannetty.
Wasn't much of a match.
Well, they talked, and then he super kicked him through a window.
Oh, he threw him through the window.
Yeah.
He super kicked him, then threw him through the window.
In my head, though, it was an actual match.
Move, I know.
And it was he super kicked him, and then he flew through the window, and then his head came off. We started watching. Because we were flipping around and asking Alabama what she wanted to watch last night, because we do that. And, like, she saw – Alabama loves, like, scary crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we put on – and we saw Death Note, the live Netflix version.
Yeah.
Which I heard was crap. I didn't realize it was, like, a gore fest. So we turn it on, and, like, the first 15 minutes or whatever, there's some cursing in it, but she seems fascinated by it. And then, like, the monster guy shows up, the guy who gives the dude the Death Note, right? And then for his first, like, death, like, it shows the – like, this bully kid in high school – getting killed. And it's sort of a Final Destination-esque sequence where, like, one car hits another car because, like, a ball went out in the road and was trying to avoid a kid, and the ladder comes shooting off and it goes into the dude's head, and, like, it's just, it doesn't cut or anything, it just shows the dude's head come off. I was like, Bama, don't look. I mean, when I was a kid I saw RoboCop, so whatever.
Sexton Hardcastle, $2. Tag belts or mid-card belt for the women's division?
Well, they've signed so many people that a tag division kind of seems natural.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like that's the next, like, they already have a singles title. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so another one would be maybe a bit on the redundant side. And so do something that they aren't doing, which is a tag division.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Try to pronounce a name here. Is this Siren? Siren 1024? Will you do a top 10 predictions for Wrestle Kingdom 12? Maybe. I don't know if we'll do a count out, but we'll do Wrestle Kingdom predictions at some point.
Yeah, we'll do Wrestle Kingdom predictions.
I don't know
if
it'll be his own episode, but yeah. Showtime 209, Angle versus HBK, 5 stars, agreed.
HBK, oh, yeah. HBK was I was there for that.
Yeah.
Don't remember a thing.
Don't remember it.
Here we go. Fred the Shed, did you ever do an episode where you go in depth on your preference of Lex Luger over Bret Hart? You know what we should do? Is start a new show called The Most Controversial Opinions in Wrestling. and we'll just come up with a bunch of crap like that.
Every episode is where we justify some wrestler being better than Bret Hart.
Who's better than Bret Hart? Yeah. Everybody. Episode one.
Adam Darwin, powering people who you think won't get to the Hall of Fame but deserve to. CM Punk, China.
Who, I mean, based on career, who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame? Chris Benoit. Never going to happen. Based exclusively on career and not the horrible, horrible things he did when he died. Who else will never get it? Scott Steiner.
Yeah,
he deserves
not.
To be in.
Yeah, probably not.
He's not getting it. Although, I don't know. If he mellows a bit, because he hasn't done anything so egregious. He hasn't done anything so egregious beyond just shooting his mouth off.
Yeah, I know.
Talking crap about people. If he mellows out, and if he mellows out, I could see him getting in.
Yeah.
Might be 10 years. You know? Because the stuff that he has said about Triple H, about the McMahons, can be, with enough time, can be viewed as just kind of silly. If he's contrite about it, which is kind of the big thing.
Yeah.
If he's apologetic, which I don't think that'll ever happen.
Yeah. Here's a name. James Rodriguez. Jim Johnston.
Oh, for sure. He
recently not re-signed to his contract.
Yeah, that should be this year.
Yeah.
You know, say, hey, thank you for your service.
Oh, I know.
You know, you're going to get in the Hall of Fame. But then, I don't know, they might not want people kicking up. Well, you release him from his contract.
Well, they just didn't re-sign him.
Yeah, right.
His contract was up and they re-signed him, yeah. Oh, Vince Russo's never going to the Hall of Fame. No.
You know, I'd have to look at what his actual resume was, what he actually, the segments and episodes and pay-per-views that he actually had a really heavy hand in to, like, understand if he actually deserves to be in.
I know. Sexton Hardcastle, Andy Kaufman will never go in. He should, though.
Why wouldn't he be?
I don't think there's any heat or anything. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if they, I don't know.
I could actually see that as happening. Yeah, on
potentially.
Some, yeah.
Brandon Weller, are you going to do a Wrestle Kingdom reaction live stream? Hopefully.
I think there's a good 70% chance we're going to do it.
Jeff Jarrett, probably not going to get in.
Probably not. But isn't he going to rehab right now on the WWE's dime?
Oh, that's true. Possibility.
You know, I could see that. I mean, does he deserve to get in? You know, by starting TNA, he gave a lot of wrestlers work.
And he is, what, a 6 or 7-time Intercontinental Champion? A multi-time WCW champion.
I always go back to this.
He's not a headliner, but he could probably get in.
I always go back to this. What are they? Luke and Butch? Who are they? The
Bushwhackers? Yeah.
They're in and the Godfather's in. That opens the door for a lot of people. You know what I mean? John Stewart, he should be in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Owen Hart, because his wife doesn't want him to.
That's true, yeah.
Be inducted.
Raven, yeah. Yeah, Raven. I mean, yeah, I want any of those guys associated with that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Buff Bagwell.
Yeah.
Is Buff Bagwell Hall of Fame worthy, Larson? No?
No.
You're right about that. Lemmy from Motorhead. Heck yeah. He should be in. He crafted some of the best theme songs ever.
Yes. Trey Saunders, how do you feel about Broken Matt holding the Intercontinental title? Yes.
I feel yes about it as well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you watch other indie promotions when I can? Yes.
It's difficult to, but there's a bunch that I want to see more of. Ice Cold Koopa, who do you think the first ECW Extreme
Championship
Wrestling personality will get into the Hall of Fame?
RVD.
It's got to be Dudley Boys.
Or them.
Who do you think had, well, he was world champ, but they're like best tag team, so I don't know. When will Chris Kimmel, when will Christian get in the Hall of Fame?
Next 5 years.
You think, well, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He won a lot of titles.
I go back to Bush. You know, I have a very high standard for the Hall of Fame, and I shouldn't because there isn't a high standard for the Hall of Fame. But I don't think he's Hall of Fame worthy.
He's a decorated wrestler.
I know.
Was he ever...
If Edge didn't exist, would he have ever done anything?
Oh, I don't know.
No. The answer is no.
Nonetheless.
That should be the question.
Edge elevated his stock enough to make him a Hall of Famer, and I've contended before, and I may be incorrect about it, but I'm going to say it again, that Michael Jordan elevated Scottie Pippen's stock enough to make him a Hall of Famer. Scottie Pippen starting out his career without Jordan, I don't know if he ever would have developed into a Hall of Fame
Scottie
player.
Scottie Pippen led that Bulls team to the Western Conference Finals.
Hold on.
In the absence of Michael Jordan.
No, because A, the Bulls were not in the Western Conference.
They're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I understand that. But I'm saying if Pippen hadn't started his career as Jordan's teammate, would he have developed the same way? Because Jordan was a very demanding teammate.
That's a lot different, though. We saw 2 years of what Scottie Pippen could do without Jordan. It was pretty amazing.
It was good. It was pretty good.
It was pretty great. He's a pretty great player.
But he was much better with Jordan on his team.
Who's more worthy of the Hall of Fame, Scottie Pippen or Christian?
Well, Scottie Pippen. But I'll say Christian belongs in the Hall of Fame based on what he's managed to accomplish.
Based on the other people in the Hall of Fame, I would say yes.
Okay.
But that's pretty much it.
So you look at Scottie Pippen. I'm not disrespecting Scottie Pippen. I was a Bulls fan. I love the Bulls.
I feel like you're totally disrespecting Scottie Pippen.
No, I'm not. I don't intend on it. I'm starting a conversation.
Yeah.
Because if you just put his stats on paper,
yeah,
they're really good.
Yeah.
But would you say that's a Hall of Famer? I don't know if you would.
Oh, yeah,
you,
I know.
You put that together with the championships.
How much did his stats go up when Jordan was gone?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't think it was a ton.
Really? Interesting.
I think they across the board they went up a bit, but like I don't think his scoring average like went up 5 or 10 points.
Yeah, like Jordan was taking all of his points.
Yeah, it wasn't that situation.
Right.
But then some of Pippen's abilities you couldn't really, you know, like qualify in stats, like his defense.
Yeah,
he's a really good defensive player.
Let's see here. All right, let's get back to wrestling.
But no disrespect intended to Scottie Pippen. I love Scottie Pippen.
That's definitely in doubt now, my friend.
Some of my favorite shoes I ever owned were Pippen shoes. Great. I love Scottie Pippen.
All right. We'll talk about Pippen shoes after the cameras roll because that fascinates me right now. Grappling Gamer, Power Rank. 5 reasons Roman will not main event WrestleMania.
Injury.
Meningitis.
Illness.
Yeah, meningitis is illness.
Wellness policy violation.
Yeah.
He loses his vest and can't compete.
Nervous breakdown because of all the booing.
Man, if he hasn't had that yet,
I know.
It's not going to happen.
I know. You got to give it up to him for that.
He seems tough as nails mentally.
Yeah. Anyways.
Hold on.
Oh.
Kenny Omega official jinx says Kyrie needed the growth and needed to mature before he could lead his own team. Same thing with Pippen. Because he had the series against the Pistons? Like he was having migraines because he couldn't handle the pressure and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So he needed it. Without Jordan there, I don't know if it would have happened.
Yeah.
It could have. I don't know.
Would Professor have been what he was without Escalade?
Who knows?
I have no idea.
Tell.
I don't know. Or skip to my Lou.
I know. I know.
That fool went to the NBA and tried to double dribble because it was part of his gimmick. And the ref said, "What are you doing, you idiot? This is street ball."
But he developed into a decent pro.
Yeah, he was good. Ray for Alston.
Yep.
Yeah, he was a good player. Oh, that's great. Anyways, we're going to go now. That's it for our show. Be sure to tune in for the first episode of Steven Larson Book Raw.
If we can write it in a hurry, in enough time.
Oh, we'll do it, man. Twitch.tv/Steven Larson.
Around 3 o'clock.
Check it out. Let's see if this is going to use out music. There might be music playing right now. I'm not really sure. Anyways, that's it for now. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Wait, out title.